KPCW News Time now, 8:19. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, the Park City Council met in a special meeting on Tuesday. In the studio with a recap from that meeting, I have Council Member Tim Henney. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I get, this is like the third or so Tuesday meeting. Is it just because of council schedules? Or
Yeah, it's just schedules that conflicted. And we're going to have a few more in January. You know, quite honestly, the idea has been floated about shifting council meetings from Thursday to Tuesday. I'm a big fan of that idea, simply because there are so many events that happen on Thursdays that we miss, and we only know that we miss them because we look at our calendar and go, we have a council meeting, I'd love to go to this, but I can't. So for some reason, the nonprofit community in Park City loves to do things on Thursdays. It must be a very effective day. And I would like to participate in a lot more of those, and I don't seem to have those sorts of conflicts or those opportunities on Tuesdays. So just from a very personal and selfish perspective, I'd love to see the shift. And it's not going to happen this year.
I was going to say the staff's probably not too happy about that, just because it kind of, you know, pushes the workload to Friday so that they can get the documents out in time.
Yeah, it shifts everything a little bit. You know, I heard that it might create some disruption, but it was a possibility. And then I heard that we were not going to do it in 2019, but that we would look at January, because we do have a number of them in January that are shifting to Tuesday as kind of a pilot program. So I would say that the handful that we're going to have, that we will have done between December and January, will give us an idea of the effects and the disruption.
Okay. At Tuesday's meeting, the mayor brought up an item that wasn't on the agenda. He had asked council to revisit the city's approval of a letter of consent about the ice arena with Basin Rec. Both parties have previously put in $50,000 for capital spending. For this next period, the city put in another $30,000, but nothing from the rec district. So do you plan to revisit this at next week's meeting?
Yeah, and you know, Leslie, I don't recall the exact details. I know that the Basin Rec did not increase their contribution. I think they held it steady at the past contribution. I could be wrong on that, but I think we feel that there are capital projects that need an increase, at least for a brief period of time, and we were willing to do that. The concern from the staff perspective was if we didn't authorize something, that we wouldn't have money to spend if we needed to spend it with some sense of urgency. But I think we'll work through that, and we'll see. You know, we'll see where we come up.
All right. Also, a Park Avenue parking plan, the city staff says it's not quite ready to put that into place. So what is the plan at this point?
Well, the plan, it's not the plan at this point. I don't think there is much of a plan at this point on Park Avenue. That's a little bit of the problem. It's kind of a free-for-all, and that free-for-all creates all sorts of disruptions. Now, we heard from Joe Butterfield early on that my impression was that Joe was concerned about the enormous amount of what we could call unauthorized parking on Park Avenue for extended periods of time. And I think that's a little bit of overflow from the historic commercial district. And it's probably, you know, I'm guessing, but I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest this is probably a pretty solid guess, is that some employees have figured out that you can park on Park Avenue and there are no restrictions, no regulation, and they park there as their free parking. And that parking extends, as you know, all the way past the library on Park Avenue on both sides of the road. Now, you know, if you're a resident and you are trying to maneuver through Park Avenue, and whether you're pulling out of your driveway or whatever it is, there are just cars there all the time. And should that be residential parking? Should that be commercial overflow parking? Those are the sorts of decisions that need to be made. What we heard from Joe again at this most recent meeting was that during snowfall events where we prohibit parking on the street so that we can move the snow, that's very disruptive to the residents who use the street parking for some of their parking needs. So we've got to figure this out, and we know that it's a big issue. And I would guess that there may even be skiers who are parking on Park Avenue and then riding the town lift. And so we have to figure out where we want this parking to occur, whether we want it to be regulated for time, for overnight, whether it should be free or paid, all those sorts of things.
Meanwhile, I've seen some emails about this Park City Forward travel survey. Do you know anything about that?
I'm on it. And I'm not a technology guy, but I got it. It's an app. You download the app, and they do 3 days of survey using the information from your cell phone. And I loaded it day before yesterday, and then yesterday I took 3 trips. I left my house 3 times and went places. And so that's 6 legs, as it was in this particular instance, just because of the nature of the trips I was taking. And I happened to have done them all on the bus. That's not necessarily always going to be the case. Today, I drove my car to come to this interview. That will be a leg of a trip. So at the end of a trip, when you're back home, or maybe even like right now, I probably have a notice on my cell phone that says, take the survey, and it'll ask me questions about why I left my home, how I got here, what I was doing here, and then when I go from here to wherever I go, and I am going to trip chain, I'm going to put a bunch of errands together because I'm in my car, and each leg, and I don't know how they determine, there must be some, you know, a halt in motion for a period of time that determines that's a leg, and they'll ask you questions in a survey form about those legs of your trip, and they're collecting data to see how people move around town and what forms of travel they use.
And that's the question. Who's they?
It's our transit planning people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of transit, we had heard from the city manager earlier that the council was going to follow up with your counterparts in the county council. Some concern that the county was calling out specific municipal employees for being unprofessional, territorial, and not inclusive. And this happening, of course, at last week's transit retreat between council members, county council members.
Yeah. Well,
did you guys follow up?
Well, Andy did follow up, yeah, and we haven't had a debrief from Andy, but he's had conversations, and I think that's probably mayor to council chair, you know, and I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Tuesday, council approved a change in the schedule for the Triple Crown baseball and softball tournaments, so it doesn't conflict with extreme soccer. How, in your estimation, are we doing with the kind of Rubik's Cube challenges of fitting events around each other?
Well, I think we're doing about as well as we can hope to do. It is a really complex Rubik's Cube, and this one created, you know, a potential quasi-catastrophic event, and it was worked through with a lot of people not being territorial and not claiming rights and, you know, saying this is the contract we have, but coming to the table and sitting across from each other and working out between the chamber, the city, Triple Crown, and Extreme Soccer a workable solution for this particular situation. Our events department works extremely hard to not encounter these sorts of conflicts. But you know, Leslie, over the years, we had to pay the Kimball $75,000 to move the Arts Fest so that we could have the Tour of Utah here with the guarantee from the Tour of Utah that they would never create that conflict again. And the next year, they came back with that exact same conflict the Tour of Utah did. And we said, sorry, here's your option. They didn't like the option, and they didn't have the Tour of Utah here. Now, I guess they've got the message, and hopefully we will always have both the Art Fest and the Tour of Utah on non-conflicting dates. They bump into one another. They're contiguous. So, you know, it's very tough. And in a town like this where everybody wants to come here, all the groups want to come here, the business groups, the retreats, the events, everybody wants to come to Park City. We are definitely on the map. The Olympics, I mean, you know, the World Championships this year, we're the place to come to. And it's a little frightening, and it's hard to juggle all those balls, but the events department does a really great job.
Council did adopt a revised budget. A lot of discussion about setting up an arts and culture department. You were one of those who seemed to feel like a department idea wasn't fully baked yet. How come?
Well, I don't think it is. We haven't talked about it at all. I mean, I read about it in this report, and for the most part, I'm fully supportive of this report because it's repurposing funds and people within existing departments. you know, we're going to reallocate existing funds and separate the social equity component away from our community engagement person so that that person can be full-time community engagement. I believe that's at least a full-time, if not a time and a half position, probably a two-person position. But, you know, we got to start with somebody full-time. And we just haven't talked about creating a full department. And that, you know, it's really a knee-jerk reaction. Whenever we are talking about repurposing funds and people, I'm good with that. But when we start talking about creating a department that has not existed, and some people were claiming that it's just a matter of semantics, I don't think it's a matter of semantics when you go from, let's give Nate Rockwood help that he needs, fully supportive of that, that could be a project manager, to let's create a department. That's a whole different concept to me. And the fact that we spent as much time as we did on that one issue, that one part of this bigger, broader budget repurposing, tells me that we do need to do a deeper dive. And we do need to have at least one, if not multiple conversations where we are processing through it so that we can all get on the same page. I heard Steve Joyce say two completely different things in the same conversation. He talked about hiring a person who we need today, not somebody that we need 4 or 5 years from now in the beginning of the conversation about a department. And then he flipped that conversation at the end to, let's go out and hire a big gun who can be the head of the department. And I was like, now wait a minute. And again, that's just evidence that we need to do a deeper dive and kind of all process through in our own ways so that we have a clearer understanding of what we're trying to accomplish.
And I mean, what we're talking about is the redevelopment of those 5 acres there at Bonanza and
That's
Ferns.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, and why not just work with the parties, the city, the Kimball, Sundance, the Park City Summit County Arts Council? I mean, don't you have enough brain power there to...
Well, everybody has their own agenda. I mean, so we are going to have people who will be working at cross purposes. Now, Nate has done a great job of bringing us to this point, but Nate has a ton of other responsibilities within the city, and Nate is telling us he needs help. So again, it's what form of help? Is it a project manager who is specifically working on that project at the Art and Culture District, or is it somebody who is going to start there and end up being a department head, or is it a combination of the two? So it's really that simple. We need clarity, and we have to process through a little bit. And, you know, creating a department, in my mind, costs more money than hiring a project manager. So I think we have to be responsible with taxpayer funds as well.
So is that where you left it then? We will move forward with hiring a staff person?
We did authorize helping, you know, giving Nate the help from a staff member. The funds are there to hire additional staff to help Nate. So yes, we're going to be told what that looks like or given various options, and then we're going to have a deeper dive on creating an actual department.
All right. And then another item was a contract with Host Compliance for a short-term rental inventory and analysis. What will this do?
Well, quite amazing to read the report. These guys have been all over the country. They have an algorithm that apparently can look at all the advertising that's happening in your community and find actual addresses and then determine whether they have pulled a business license and have been inspected and are in compliance with local codes and ordinances. And they do it all over the place. They do it extremely successfully. They have a really high conversion rate from non-compliance to compliance. And what they also have learned, and one of the things that's, you know, that we want to do is through education and through notification, you get that compliance. You don't have to go out and ticket people or cite them for non-compliance or fine them. Once they understand that there are rules and regulations and that they are required to comply, after 2 to 3 notifications, they do comply. So that's the trick. And that's what these guys do throughout not only Park City, but also Summit County. And we think that there's a significant number of people who are not currently in compliance that we would like to bring into compliance.
So if I wanted to bring in a J-1 visa worker to my house and rent it out, 3-4 months, do I need to go through this
compliance?
No,
I don't think so, because that's a long term. This is really nightly rental. Yeah, and long term, you're good to go. And you know, this also could help shift some of that back to long term, because long term, you have lots of benefits. You get to claim it as a non-commercial primary residence for your property tax. If you're just doing nightly rentals in a property, that's not a primary residence. You're going to get taxed at the full rate versus the discounted rate that we primary owners are taxed at. If you're in long-term rental, that's renting to somebody who's a resident, and you get the resident property tax rate.
And that definition is anything more than 30 days?
It's something like that, yeah.
Okay. Finally, the council, I believe, approved a captioning service for the live stream audio of your council meetings. And Rick wanted me to ask you, is there really a captioning service that can keep up with you, Tim?
Ha! Thanks, Rick. Probably not. Hey, Leslie, let me just tell you, I just want to say to Park City and the residents and the listeners, you know, this has been a phenomenal year, 2018. If you look back and look at what the Community Foundation has done, not only with Live Give Park City, where they, you know, raise so much money and so many unique donors, but also have taken on the social equity as the convener. That's a huge project. Looking at removing the density and the development from Treasure Hill, and that's right on the heels of Bonanza Flat a year ago. This has been a phenomenal year. We've made tremendous success, and it's just wonderful to be living in a town. And I think we're all so fortunate to be here. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, because I won't get to talk to the community until after the holidays.
Okay, Tim, thanks. It's 8:36 now. Good morning. With the Art Elevated Holiday Boutique returning to Park City this weekend. And then next week, it's Branded PC, a pop-up shop created by the Park City Summit County Arts Council. That'll happen Tuesday through Saturday. In the studio with details, I have the managing director of the Park City Summit County Arts Council, Jocelyn Scudder, along with one of the participants from Tandem Chocolates, Phyllis Robinson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Jocelyn, maybe a quick bit just about this weekend's boutique. I think it opens today, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, so Art Elevated, it's a partnership between the Arts Council, Swan Art Eco Center, and then we also have the Park City Professional Artists Association help us out with that show. And it does start tonight. It's from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Swanner, and then it continues all weekend. So Saturday it's 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Swanner, and then Sunday it's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's a holiday boutique featuring local artists and artisans. We have 20 artists. The caliber of the art is incredible this year. We actually had 43 people apply to be in the show, and then we had to narrow that down to 20. So you can just imagine the caliber is really excellent, and we encourage you to stop by.
Yeah, just a space deal there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you got besides the artists? You've got, is there some food and music and...
Yes. Yeah. We have local entertainment each day. And so we'll have Teresa Eggerson Cook. We'll have a DeCapo youth program come and perform. And then we do have Park City Desserts confirmed to do some tastings. So there'll be something for everyone, and, you know, make a day of it. Bring your family and friends, and support local when you shop this holiday.
Okay. And then starting Tuesday and then running through Saturday, December 22nd, it's Branded PC. So tell me about that.
Yes. Yeah, so Branded PC is a temporary event experience that showcases a curated set of Summit County creative entrepreneurs, and we tell their story and we promote their product. So it's really a one-stop shop for locals and visitors to interact with our local brands and makers. And so the pop-up shop experience is really designed as a gallery meets editorial spotlight meets matchmaker between the community and local creatives. And so we will feature over 40 brands who either started their brand in Summit County or are currently based in Summit County. So it's a really eclectic mix of products. We'll be representing household goods, artisan food items, accessories, toys, clothing, outdoor gear, books, cards, and of course, chocolate with Tandem Chocolates is one of our favorites and a bestseller at Branded PC every year.
All right. So now is this different in that you're just showcasing them, or are there actually sales happening here as well?
There's sales happening as well. So it's a shop. It's meant to, everything on the floor will be for sale. But, you know, it's a really fun project for us because we like to highlight the creative entrepreneur through this, where it's not really a fine art show. We're displaying creative product and the innovative product. And there's an incredible amount of creative entrepreneurs here locally in town. And so it's thrilling for the Arts Council to have the opportunity to showcase those brands.
Okay, so Phyllis, you're one of 40. And it was just, again, a juried kind of
No, this was open to anyone who was interested, mm-hmm. and we curated it. So we do a lot of outreach for it, and okay. because we want something for everyone. So there's gear. We have Shred and Soul Poles. We have beautiful tote bags and skincare and jewelry. So really, you could find anything.
All right, and Phyllis, you're bringing chocolates then?
Of course. Yeah.
This is your third year?
So this is my third year for Tandem Chocolates. Mm-hmm. We started actually 3 years ago on December 15th. We got our last business permits and things like that. So never a good time to start a chocolate shop 10 days before the holidays. last year we were at Branded. The first year we were at Branded, we were just doing sampling. And then last year we were there as a vendor. And it was just an amazing experience for us. And as a very small business and an entrepreneur, we don't run a retail business. We can't afford to. Quite honestly, we cannot afford the rent for a retail space in this town, particularly for a startup. And so Branded has provided us a great platform last year to really get our product out, to connect with people, both from the sales at Branded, but also just that marketing that it provided for us and the new relationships that it created for us and a new customer base.
Yeah. So is that the business keeping you busy year round?
It is. So during the summer months and spring and summer months, so once Mother's Day ends, sort of chocolate season, kind of finishes. Fortunately, weddings start in June. So we do a lot of events. So we do, table favors and dessert bars and private events and those sorts of things during the summer months, as well as our classes. We've had a lot of fun this past summer in the video that the Arts Council did featured us, a little clip of us doing some of our classes, have been fun during the summer months when we have folks visiting in town. And we've had sort of multi-generational parents and kids who are making candy bars and making other sort of bonbons as part of an experience that they're having when they're here in Park City.
Okay. Where's that information available on your website?
On our website, which is needs improvement. As soon as we find a few extra moments.
Okay. So for next week then, are you going to have plenty of chocolates to sell because you've been busy?
We will. And we've known about Brenda for a while, so we've obviously been planning for that. And at places like this, we like to bring smaller pieces. So our five-piece collections. We have a new piece we're bringing this year, which is that you can hang on your favorite bottle that you're giving as a gift. So it's a little four-piece box that actually isn't designed to go around the neck of a bottle. So your last minute, oh my gosh, I'm stopping at the liquor store because I forgot to pick up something to take to someone's party. You can dress up with a little box of chocolates, and then it'll look like you actually thought about the gift in advance.
Okay. So, Jocelyn, that's happening again Tuesday through Saturday?
Exactly, yes. It's a five-day pop-up. Tuesday is actually our launch party, and it's open to the public if anyone wants to come and get first dibs on product. The public is welcome. It'll be 21+, but it's from 7:30 to 9 p.m. on Tuesday, December 18th. And then the showroom and pop-up shop will be open Wednesday through Saturday, December 19th through 22nd, every day, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. So it's a very busy time for us. And actually, I just wanted to plug, I'm so glad Phyllis mentioned her classes, because we're actually highlighting Tandem Chocolates through some workshops. We're doing workshops every day. So if you go to brandedpc.org and you click on Daily Activities, you'll see that Phyllis is featured, and we're doing a chocolate making workshop on Saturday, December 22nd. So we're doing a kids workshop where they'll make their own Christmas trees from 3 to 4 p.m. and then an adult workshop to make your own candy bars from 4 to 5. So a really fun experience. It's really meant to be a sneak peek behind the creative process, and hopefully it'll be a great PR opportunity for Phyllis to showcase her talents in teaching the chocolate workshops.
Great. So you gave me the day and the time. Where is it happening?
Rockwell Room. Sorry about that. Rockwell Room on Main Street. 268 Main Street. It's actually above the normal OP Rockwell space, and it's a newer space. I know they've kind of, the team has made it a listening room, so there's a stage. It's a beautiful open space, and we feel very fortunate to be on Main Street this year.
Is that the old Morning Ray building?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
That's all. We just encourage you again. It's free to come by, so check it out. It's a really exciting show.
Okay. Phyllis and Jocelyn, thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
KPCW News Time now, 8:44. It's the local news hour on KPCW. Well, after years of negotiation and fundraising, the Egyptian Theater acquired the space that it used to occupy under the former Main Street Mall for its youth theater programs earlier this year. Since then, the theater has been raising the money it needs to build out that theater, and the studio with details on their final push for fundraising, Egyptian Theater Director and host of the Local View here on KPCW, Randy Barton. Good morning.
Thank you for hosting me, Leslie Thatcher.
How much space?
It is an exciting time.
Yeah. How much space do you have under there?
There's 9,000 square feet, to give you an idea. It's 1.5 times the size of the main level of our theater, and it is just phenomenal. And it's quite the history lesson for folks that are not familiar with the late 70s, early 80s of Park City, but our theater and all of this new space we're moving into is really courtesy of Debbie and Randy Fields and Mrs. Fields Cookies. That's where they built their world headquarters. And after a certain amount of time, they ran into some financial problems and just gave us the keys. And we used that whole basement. You've been in there many, many times, but we used it from 1985 until 2012 when someone finally had the wherewithal to remodel that building. And we all know it needed remodeling, but we were able in January, courtesy again of our major partners and philanthropists, Rick and Carmen Rogers, we were able to purchase that space and really secure it, in perpetuity for arts and culture, which is so important to our town and the historic district.
Yeah. So the plan is to use it as the youth theater headquarters, as well as what, just some event space for the Egyptian?
Well, when we were asked to leave, we lost three uses. We had a black box theater that we were able to do all sorts of things, kids shows as well as improv at night and plays and, small acoustical acts. We lost, obviously, our classroom and teaching space and an event space that was big enough to hold, a large number of people just for socializing. So those are the three main uses, but it will also, be another venue for Sundance to occupy during their festival. So kind of four uses of this beautiful space, and nobody knows it's there. It's under Main Street. We have an actual tunnel that connects our theater to that space that is right under Main Street.
So how much money did you need to finish the space, and how much are you short?
Well, we started off with a goal of $4.75 million to do a major redevelopment of not only that space, but also the tunnel under Main Street and the breezeway, the space that connects China Terrace to Main Street. But we've since removed the tunnel under Main and the breezeway, and we're really hoping we can work with the city, the county, and the state to get public ownership of that portion of the project. So we dropped our estimate down to about $3.7 million, and we've raised $2.6 to date. So, we've done that through the kind of privately through all of our Faro Club members and these dinners that I've been hosting and tours for the past year. So great philanthropy in this town. And now we're asking the entire community to consider helping us build out this space, specifically putting our Banksy back out on the street.
Yeah. So has the construction of that, it's ongoing?
We haven't started yet. No, we have secured the space. We are designing it, and we just need to raise this final 30% of what we need.
Mm-hmm. Before you get into there. So you have been able to do it without selling the Banksy, and that's the plan, is to keep the Banksy?
Yeah, in 2012, when we were asked to leave, and the company that took over and remodeled that just been great for us, they said, well, we can't just give you that space like we have for the past, 20 years. And, I told them, it's like, well, we've always felt like at any moment we could be asked to leave, because everybody that owned it before wanted to remodel the building but never had the means to do it. And we were so poor. The only way I could agree to tell them that, yes, we will buy that space from you for $1.5 million is because we had the Banksy. And we really thought we were going to sell that Banksy because it's worth more than that. It's not been shredded. It's never been seen. It's been hidden from the night that it was put on the door. So, our town is so wonderful and so beautiful. We should never let a modern piece of work like this dirty rat slip out of town to the highest bidder. So we're proud of the fact that we were able to raise the money and not sell the Banksy.
So that'll be actually displayed at some point then, huh?
Right. And that's, you know, that's the part of this project. We have two great families, Tom and Lynn Fay and David and Tammy Krajewski, that have each put up $100,000 in a matching grant, because we feel like, you know, to put that back up and get the cameras and you know, all the work it's going to take to protect it, that's about what we need. So we're asking kind of, you know, everybody out there, if they can afford $10 up to $100, $1,000, we are really actively now trying to get a community match for that $200,000.
Okay. People can do that just online?
Yeah, online or at the theater. You know, they know where we're at. Stop by.
So where have the kids been meeting then to rehearse?
Well, you know, we've been all over town. We had to rent from the school district for a number of years. We've been in the Miners Hospital in City Park. We remodeled our own theater. We've been in the library. So, you know, these kids need a permanent home. Many kids, you know, they grow up remembering where they, you know, went to an after-school program. For me, it was baseball. You know, I don't know what it was for you, but everybody had that. This is what I remember as a kid, and that's what we want this to be, is a real home, not just a makeshift space for these kids. I mean, you know, we teach kids great skills, and they are in television and Broadway and motion pictures, and that's the main purpose. You know, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the fact that we need youth theater space.
And again, this is not a long-term lease. This is the theater owns this and will build out the space, and it's yours forever.
You know, and you look back at our theater, and people have saved it, you know, and saved it and saved it. It's burned down. It's fell down. It went through a depression, a recession, a ghost town. And, you know, it was once owned by the federal government after Mrs. Fields Cookies had financial problem. So if we can get this space, build it out properly, it gives another 100 years of arts and culture to this community, which is, I mean, amazing, way beyond what I will ever see.
Okay. Good luck, Randy.
ParkCityShows.com, or, you know, people can actually just give me a call. My number's on the website. I'd love to give you a tour. This tour and presentation and history of Park City, I think, is quite impactful, to go back to the very beginning and how important arts and culture has always been to this community. So please, folks, listeners, give me a call, and we'll set up a time if you're interested in a major donation or just helping us out with our Save Our Banksy. Talk to me about it. I think I can add to your inspiration.
Okay. Randy Barton with the Egyptian Theater.
Thank you very much.